Please don't let this be like the fire festival. God, please don't let this be like the fire festival. I would like to say that I didn't say this to myself a lot in the past 10 months, but honestly, every single day I would think this to myself over and over again as I got closer to hosting my first in-person retreat. You see, I did a thing, and even though it has been about 2 weeks from the time of this recording that I actually made that thing happen, I'm still a bit amazed that I hosted the Money on the Mountain financial retreat, a money retreat created for financially single women. By the way, there are married financially single women, in fact, a very large percentage I learned, and they were there at the event as well. So it wasn't for single women, it was for finances, financially single women. It has taken me 2 weeks to recover mentally and physically from the amount of stress that I was under. And yes, it was self-imposed. However, I did want to give all of you guys who are kind of curious about, like what happened behind the scenes, a peek at what it's like to host an in-person event as an online influencer, especially as an influencer that has, like, I feel like I have an average-sized following. Like, I don't think that I have this enormous, brand awareness with billions of people out there knowing me, and I don't have a large email list. So I had actually a number of things going against me, but we'll get into that in a minute. This episode is sponsored by the following: my upcoming book, How to Host Your First In-Person Retreat Without Going Broke or Losing Your Mind. Learn from other influencers who've hosted conferences or retreats. Discover event best practices, how to pitch for sponsors, and more. Pre-order today at the following link, michelleismoneyhungry.com/retreatbook. And doors are now open to my new program, the Brand Building Lab. Are you a digital content creator stuck on perfect and not launching any products? Do you get frustrated because of analysis paralysis and find yourself unable to get out of your own head? Are you struggling to make meaningful connections that will grow your brand and your business? Then the Brand Building Lab is for you. Schedule your free 20-minute consultation call with me today. Text "Now is my time" to 44222, or click the link in the show notes. In order to go to the show notes, go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/moneyonthemountainrecap. Okay, so I won't ever forget one of the biggest professional disappointments that happened in my previous job. Not once, but twice. I worked at an international English center working with adult students learning English as a second language. I'd grown my role pretty significantly and loved the organization and the clients that we served. I really loved that job. What I also wanted to do in the context of what I'd already learned and all that kind of thing was I wanted to market the program. And what that meant to market the program, it meant that I would do overseas travel to participate in marketing fairs specific to international English programs, international language programs. For the program that I worked for, that would mean travel specifically to the Middle East, South America, Asia, and potentially Africa. It was a big deal. So this was a big deal in terms of my own professional development. It was a big deal just for me to go out in the world to do this thing to represent my organization. And it was something that I was so heart focused on. I loved the organization. I put a lot of work into it. I grew my job significantly. So by the time I ended my job, my career in that field, I was doing immigration, which was always my primary role. So when I look at all this immigration talk nowadays on both sides of the aisle, I feel like I can tell how much they don't know after 10 years of working in the field. Anyway, we won't go there. I did immigration. I supervised my student assistants. Sometimes I would have 5 to 6 student assistants at any given time. I actually worked with them and developed
really great rapport and connections with those student assistants. In fact, I had such a great connection with them that one of them attended my Money on the Mountain event. So like, I'm still in touch with the people that I used to supervise. I did all the administrative tasks, filing, all that stuff related to the different cases specific to the students. Event planning, so I was planning about 85 plus events a year. So that would mean anything from taking the students to basketball games, to paintball, camping, horseback riding, skiing, anything you could think of, I've done with international students and American staff. So like, I have done it all, and I did it all in that role. So when I asked, hey, I'd like to market the program, I felt, and rightly so, that I was well suited to do this. And when I approached the director of the program at the time, that person said, and I quote, "I don't feel comfortable with you marketing the program." I was devastated, embarrassed, and really angry. What I know now is that I was asking for an opportunity that affected what this person wanted for themselves. That professional slight was something that was very much below the surface and bubbling when our directors changed, and it happened again. So during the time that I worked at this organization, there were three directors. So by the third time, the third director, I went in and approached again, asking about, you know, I would love to market the program. Is there an opportunity for me to do that? Because we were making money and we were spending money on this. It wasn't something that was like out of the blue. We were allocating dollars to this. And that director said no to that as well. Again, because they would not be able to do that. They would not be able to go on those trips and market the program that we worked for. So that meant that I was in the way of an opportunity that they saw for themselves. This director also said no to me attending the NAFSA conference, which is the conference for people in the space that I was working in at the time. It's an amazing conference. These are amazing people. And it really stung, because I remember going in the office and, like, you know, wanting to get details about the conference. And she's like, "Well, I'm going to have you stay here." And I was like, whoa, like I couldn't believe it, because I attended all the other ones when appropriate, which was basically every year. That year in particular was in San Diego. So I was really wanting to go. And I was just like, you know, I'm spending, in my head, 70 to 80 hours a week on this job, and they could give a crap about how it's affecting me. Really, like, this was the turning point. Like, this was just when I was like, I'm so done. The next day I went in, and the director was like, "You know what, I'm so sorry. I actually, you know, this isn't fair to you. I want you to attend." But the damage was done. Like, I'm one of those people, it takes a lot to make me as angry as I got that day. It takes a lot. Like, I'm super nice. People know that I'm super nice. You don't want me to get angry. I'm like the Incredible Hulk. And I just got angry. And that day I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with regular work. I'm done with people dicking me over. I'm done. And I will never forget how done I was. I was done. I was like, I'm never going back. So what on earth does this have to do with me creating Money on the Mountain? Well, it's actually a big part of why I created it. When I began working for myself, I always thought about all the things that I could do: make passive income, write books, speak on panels, run amazing workshops, host events. In 2016 and 2018, I had the incredible opportunity to attend the Lola retreat, Sense Positive. Both were financial retreats for different segments of women, but they both had this like profound effect on me. And I was just so in awe of what Tanya and Melanie had done. I was like, wow, you guys like did a thing. Like, you brought people together and talked about something that you cared about. And yeah, it was hard, but you made it happen. And I thought, I was transformed by this it's now my time to see if I can do this as well. And I decided to take the leap and host my own event. It was a humbling, scary, intense, and emotional experience. Launching Money on the Mountain forced me to do a couple of things. Do as I said and honor my word to my future attendees. It was not lost on me that they were taking a huge risk on this event that had never been hosted before. It was in Denver. A lot of people don't want to come to Denver for whatever reasons. And Denver's awesome, just telling you. So I also had to get out of my comfort zone of what was possible for me to do, because I had noticed that I wasn't growing as much in my business as I felt like I should be. And I was dealing with some mindset issues. And so having to host an event like this with attendees coming from Canada, that was something like, I can't have this girl coming in from Canada and not have this work. Like, that's not going to, that's not an option. I wanted to market a program and an event, and I was actually doing it. So that was a big thing. I wanted to market a thing that I cared about, and I was doing it. So I had to do it well. I also had a lot of fears. What if I messed this up and made it difficult for other people of color in the personal finance space to pitch for sponsors and get buy-in to what they were doing? Real talk, I worried about that. I worried about that because even though we're all doing like different events and things like that, I felt like in the FinCon community, I'm known enough where it was visible that I was doing this. And I was asking for money from people that are well-known in this space. And I was like, if I don't get this right, one, it could affect subconsciously. Like, and not that I'm not saying that people are good or bad or whatever. I'm just saying that this is a worry I had, that it could affect the ability for other people of color in our space to raise money. I worried about that. I did not want attendees to arrive and feel like they didn't get what they paid for. I did not want to be on blast via social media for dropping the ball. Again, I started this episode out by saying, please God, don't let this be like the Fyre Festival. My reputation was at stake, seriously, because if I dropped the ball, again, I would be on blast. What if I failed? And honestly, I don't think failure is a bad thing. I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. But there are inherent risks that come with failure, like huge failure. And I knew that there were people out there who were friends of mine or companies who would be unwilling to support me on this initial project because they wanted to see what would happen. These same people will likely be very supportive of upcoming projects that I work on because I was able to make things happen with this one. So I also was aware that there were people kind of just seeing what was going to happen, right? Not that they wanted me to fail or anything, but they needed to see that I came through and I did what I said I was going to do. Finally, and this is very real, especially as a person who's in a debt repayment journey, I was afraid of owing thousands of dollars on this event and being in the hole financially. This is a real thing. So I am happy to say that wasn't the case, but that was a real possibility. So what ended up happening with Money on the Mountain? Well, I ended up overpaying. And the good thing about the overpayment was that I was able to really spoil my attendees. I was in fact able to like add a lot more to the food budget and even treated them to brunch on Sunday, including drinks. So it was just super, it worked out really well, even though I don't like the idea that I overpaid, but the overpayment was significant enough where the facility contacted me. They're like, don't pay anymore. And I was like, well, do we need to like renegotiate the contract or anything? They're like, no, you're good. Like, we don't want any more money from you. Because I was so good that they were like, we're fine with what you paid and it's not right for us to continue taking your money. So that was a really shocking and amazing experience on two levels. One, I can't speak highly enough of this venue because I think that a lot of other places would have just taken my money and been like, this is the contract. Two, the in-house staff were just amazing. I literally cannot speak highly enough of this venue. The food was incredible. I absolutely loved it. So I do plan on hosting another Money on the Mountain, and I will host one of those events there again. There is an additional venue that I'd like to use in the upcoming year that I do Money on the Mountain, but I'll talk about that a little in a second. My original attendee number was 50. Like, I really was like, I want 50 people to come. It ended up being about 25. And to be honest, that is so good. Thank God for that. Because if I'd had 25 more people, I would have owed thousands of dollars. Because each person would have been about $100 easily, just for food expenses. So to give you an idea of food, the lunch on Saturday was like $32 a person. $32. That wasn't including alcohol or anything. That was a boxed lunch, $32. The brunch was actually, in my view, more cost effective. So I just had a number associated with my event profile. We went upstairs, we had brunch at the venue and just charged it to my profile because I had all this excess cash. And honestly, that was cheaper than ordering box lunches and things like that, or regular lunch. And the reason why is venues in general have a minimum food spend that you will have to incur. So when you go to events like FinCon, especially now that FinCon has like 3,000 people attending, there's a reason why they don't pay for food and stuff anymore, or they get sponsors specifically to cover that. It is very expensive. It is so expensive. By the way, because I had this number of people, it's the sweet spot. I will never host an event with more than 30 people. It was perfect. And that's including the speakers. I will never, ever, ever have more than 30 people. It was small enough that people could really talk to one another and connect. It was cozy. I was able to have one-on-one interactions with everyone, which I really missed from my old job. And I think if I made it any bigger than that, just the amount of money that it would cost to host the event, that kind of thing, 30 is always going to be the number for my events moving forward, whether it is a brunch, which is something that I'm looking at doing in 2020. Just 30 was the sweet spot. So that was good. The feedback was so good for the event that I was overwhelmed. In fact, on Monday, one of the attendees sent me a tip and I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. So that was just awesome. Taking this risk created a huge and lasting mindset shift about what I'm capable of doing. I feel really different about myself. I feel differently about myself and my professional abilities as an online entrepreneur. I grew the following skill sets that my traditional 9-to-5 job roadblocked for years: pitching for sponsorships, marketing, all aspects of that, event planning, event-specific social media and copy, guest relations. Moving forward, I've written a guide about hosting in-person events, and I will be sharing everything that worked and didn't work as I put the event together. One thing that I will say is that I way underestimated how much mental energy hosting an event like this would take. It's taken me about 2 weeks to recover and feel like 100% mentally. So I actually, the day after the event, my plan was to go to Breckenridge to go to the mountains and just relax. I actually overslept and missed the bus because I like to take the bus to Breckenridge instead of drive if I don't have to. And so I ended up going on Tuesday and staying until Friday, which was perfect. But it literally, I needed 2 weeks to kind of take it all in. And on that Sunday of the event, I was having a happy hour with Melanie Lockhart. She's done Lola. And I said to her, I was like, girl, like, I don't even understand how you did two of these in 1 year. I just don't. And she was like, Michelle. And she was kind of concerned because I think I was on adrenaline. And she's looking at me and she's like, Michelle, are you okay? And I'm just sitting there like looking at her and having my drink and eating at this amazing place. And I just was like, I am so freaking tired. And it was just, my brain was tired. So anyway, I way underestimated how tired I was. So October, it's a wash in terms of working. I literally was just, I didn't have the energy to work. So I lost 2 weeks of productivity because I couldn't work. And that is just, that's just how it went. Yeah, that's just how it went. I was just, wow, tired. In 2020, I've decided to host a series of brunches and workshops versus an entire retreat. The reason why is, again, recently I shared an episode about managing your capacity. And I feel like 2020 in general is going to be a very intense year with the election. I have some personal goals that I want to achieve. And I just want 2020 to be, in ways that I can control, a lot more chill. It doesn't mean that I don't have big personal goals and professional goals. I do, actually. I just feel like running an event next year, it's a bit much. And in general, I'm alternating years when I do things. So for example, I will be attending FinCon in 2020, but I didn't attend it this year or the year before. And I've become a lot more comfortable with taking time off from events. I will not be going to Podcast Movement in the summer, but I might attend the Podcast Evolutions event in February. I'm just being very, very intentional about what happens in 2020. I've already reached out to the venue that I want to use for Money on the Mountain in 2021. I actually have the crazy idea that I will do two in 2021. So do keep yourself posted. I have the specific topics that will be covered in each event already picked out. Like, I already have the subject matter picked. And I think that both events are going to be incredible. I'm leaning more towards doing two, but because of my experience this year, I know what not to do. And there will only be 30 people per event. So just FYI. So anyway, I just wanted to share what it was like to host an in-person retreat. It went really well. It exceeded my expectations. I will begin working on the events for 2021 in January of 2020, partly because actually venues book out really early. So that was the other thing. The original venue I had planned to use booked out. Like, I had reached out to them in October of 2018, and they had already booked out that spot. So that's why I'm starting now. If you have any questions, please do email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com. And thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure to subscribe and like the show. Don't forget to get your guide, How to Host Your First In-Person Event Without Going Broke or Losing Your Mind. Before I end the show, I would love to just take a moment to thank my sponsors, the sponsors of the Money on the Mountain Financial Retreat. Without you guys, this wouldn't have happened. The Plutus Foundation, the Financial Gym, Elevate Workshops, Frugal, FinCon, Money Crashers, Making Sense of Sense, Earn More, Save More, Live More, Statement Cards, My Money Chronicles. Thank you to the following individual sponsors as well: Cassandra Descent, Emily Guy Birkin, Jessica Garbarino, Maria Nadeva from The Money Principle, Liz Amaral, Northwestern Mutual, Barry Tesler, The Art of Money, Liz Stapleton, Miranda Marquette. The anonymous donors that I know and you don't. There are several people who supported Money on the Mountain and did it quietly in the background. And finally, Laura from the internets. Who in the heck is Laura? I don't know. I still don't know, but there's this amazing human being out there in the world named Laura, and she donated a fairly significant amount of money to Money on the Mountain. And really, it was like a magical experience that she did that. So Laura from the internets, thank you. Thank you so much. And I look forward to hosting Money on the Mountain again.